Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 35 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Michael W. Austin. Mike is chair and professor of philosophy at Eastern Kentucky University. One of his recent books is Being Good, Christian Virtues for Everyday Life, and he's also a regular contributor to the Christian Research Journal. In the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Mike has written an article for our Viewpoint column. Viewpoint addresses relevant contemporary issues in discernment and apologetics from a particular perspective that's not usually shared by all Christians. We hope that readers' thinking on Viewpoint issues will be stimulated and enhanced, whether or not they end up agreeing with the author. Mike's Viewpoint article is called All Sins Are Not the Same. Mike, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, it's good to be on. Thank you.
Well, you know, one of those contemporary Christian cliches that we always hear out there is all sins are the same in God's sight. Sin is sin. So why do you think a lot of people believe this or cite this statement as true?
Yeah, I think part of what it is that leads them to that belief is that on the positive side is they have a deep respect for God's holiness. I think we want to proclaim this statement sometimes because we think it underscores how holy and righteous God is. But too often we're just prone to minimize or justify or even ignore our sin. So it's clear that God's holiness is great, and all sin separates us. Even the smallest can do that.
So throughout church history, what have people said about this idea that, you know, sin is sin and all sins are equal in the sight of God?
Yeah, I've looked at that a little bit recently, and really there are a lot of people that have held that there are different levels of sin, so to speak, that some are worse than others. Of course, there's the Roman Catholic idea about mortal and venial sin, and I wouldn't necessarily want to defend that. But many others have said things that support the idea. If you look at Jonathan Edwards, he said that some sins may be more heinous than others. He said that some may be 1,000 times more dreadful than others. Spurgeon talks about little sins leading to great ones. John Calvin talks about sins being, or some of them being mere, what he called delinquencies. Others were crimes and flagrant iniquities. I think you can find the idea in Luther, Richard Baxter, R.C. Sproul, among others. So it's pretty prominent throughout the history.
So do you think that believing in this, you know, wrongly shapes our view of God? I think of people thinking, well, you know, I'm not as bad as like Hitler, or, you know, I haven't, you know, murdered anybody.
Yeah, and I think it can prevent us from really grasping the true nature of God's holiness, of his love and moral perfection. And so I think one reason people make the statement, all sins are the same, is because it doesn't matter if you're Hitler or not, right? The consequences is the same, whether it's, you know, one of the worst things you can do or less significant. But I think that, look, if God thinks that lying to my coworker is just as evil or as wrong as murdering my coworker, and that gives us a flawed view of God's morality, of God's character. And so certainly God abhors both actions, right? He hates lying, he hates murder. And the consequence, apart from Christ, of any sin is death. But it's really hard to square thinking that these two things are morally equivalent with the claim that God is a morally perfect being worthy of worship.
So how do you think that believing in the fact that all sins are not the same, what's the positive thing about how we could view God? In other words, how can that give us a better picture of his character?
Yeah, I think that's a good and important question. I think, I mean, for one thing, it helps us get a glimpse of God's perfect wisdom, right? So if we can see that from God's perspective, which is, you know, the true one, obviously, that there is a difference here, that gives us an insight into his mind, into his heart. We can see that God's morally sensitive as a judgment of morality and as the source of morality. And I think, you know, he recognizes what we intuitively see, that some things are just worse to do than others. And so if we can, well, you know, I was thinking about this. You can see that distinction of the levels of action being right or wrong, even in just how our laws are set up. Of course, the law is not always consistent, but if I get caught speeding, the penalty is a lot less than if I commit vehicular manslaughter, for example. So that belief that there are these judgments of right and wrong being a degreed thing is prevalent, and it gives us a better view of who God is as a morally perfect being.
So how do you think that this statement is unbiblical?
Yeah, I think that there are several places that we could draw from, but the two that come to mind most significantly for me are both from the Gospels. And they're well-known scriptures. I just think sometimes we've kind of missed it. Part of the implication is that this statement is unbiblical. So if you look at Matthew 23, where Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, here I have the passage here. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin." And then this is the key part. "But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." So it's not the excuse of the little things we don't have to worry about. I mean, Jesus is saying all the matters of the law are important, but justice, mercy, and faithfulness are more important than the small things. So that's important. And then I think of the Great Commandment in Mark 12, where Jesus says the most important commandment is to, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself." There's no commandment greater than these. And so if some commandments, I think, are more important than others, then some of our moral obligations are more important than others. And failing to fulfill such an obligation, right, can be more or less evil. I think you can find stuff in James and the wisdom literature, but those are a couple key points just straight from the teachings of Christ and the Gospels that really highlight the issue.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Dr. Michael W. Austin, who wrote a viewpoint article for the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and his article is called "All Sins Are Not the Same." To read his article, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. Or if you just want the single issue, it's also available for your donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute in the month of April 2017. Well, you were just talking to us about the kind of cliche saying, all sins are not the same, or all sin is the same, really, sin is sin. And you were telling us why that was unbiblical, but what's your philosophy, professor? So what's wrong with it philosophically?
Yeah, I discussed not this exact thing, but just in moral philosophy, both Christian and secular philosophy, something like this comes up about whether some actions are more right or wrong than others. And sort of the classic example in a philosophy classroom I might use, and I do use, is, you know, tell my students, imagine, you're in, I don't know, Poland during the Second World War, you're hiding a family of Jews in your attic, and the Nazis come to the door. Do you lie to the Nazis and say there are no Jews here, or do you tell the truth? And in that case, I mean, at least philosophically, many think that the way to determine what to do when you've got two conflicting obligations is to figure out which one is the more weighty or more carries more strength, so to speak, when they come into conflict. And so when the obligation to tell the truth, right, conflicts with the obligation to protect innocent life, then it seems pretty clear that protection of innocent life is more important. And so the best way to determine a choice in those kind of situations is to figure out which obligation is stronger. And so often people, when they criticize moral theories, they note that they have a flaw of a moral theory is that it doesn't make those kind of judgments about the degree of something's rightness or wrongness. So that's a short bit. Of course, there's a ton of stuff about that, but philosophically, right, it shows how it's counterintuitive and can lead to some problems.
So how might, the cliche, you know, that all sins are equal in God's sight have a negative impact on people who are Christians?
Yeah, if it's right, which it seems clear to me it is from the Gospels and elsewhere, that it is a cliche, that it is a mistake, then it could have a negative impact. I mean, if we think of wisdom being a key moral and intellectual virtue for the believer, then someone who thinks that all sins are the same might exhibit a lack of wisdom in some situations, right? Because then we're failing to see the world the way that God does. It might cause us to value something too highly or something too lowly. We could even become like the Pharisees, right? Focused on the lesser matters of Christ-likeness while neglecting those that matter more. So you can think of people who are really meticulous about certain issues, but really don't put much time or effort into growing in their love for their neighbor or for their enemy. And so that can impact not just wisdom, but all of our character.
Are there other practical ways to view sin rightly and biblically that help us in our walk with Christ?
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously want to have the mind of Christ. Part of sanctification, of transformation, is the renewing of the mind. So these judgments aren't just, it's not just about having proper doctrine, which is important, but it's about having proper doctrine that we can then apply. And so I think it's apparent from the Gospels that Jesus didn't think they're all the same. So that means that, here's a way that might be even more practical, right? We should obviously deal with all of our sins. We don't want to excuse them or minimize them. But some of them are more destructive to others, either to us or to other people. And so we'd want to focus on those first, eliminating those things from our lives in partnership with the Holy Spirit, rather than just focusing on, you know, the lesser matters. Now they're all important, but right, it should show us what are the primary ways we should focus on growing in our walk with Christ right now. It would be those more weighty matters of the moral law.
And so, how does that apply as we, you know, mature Christians disciple others in their walk with Christ?
I think it helps us help them develop sound moral and spiritual knowledge, a wise outlook in life. Right? We want to do that in those we're discipling. If we have children, that's important, right? And especially over the years to help them see that. For our disciples, for our kids, for those that we're having an influence on, it can be very difficult to navigate decisions in what is becoming increasingly a post-Christian culture. To do that in ways that are honoring to God. And so we've got to teach our disciples and we've got to learn ourselves how to be faithful where God has called us. And so as believers, not just working in ministry, but out in the world, right, in the secular marketplace, so to speak, this kind of wisdom is going to become more and more important because it's going to be less and less common.
So how should Christians respond to maybe unbelievers, people who aren't Christians, ministering to them, especially if they hear them kind of quote this cliche back? Sometimes, you know, non-Christians will hear some kind of Christian cliche and say, well, isn't this true that, you know, all sins are the same in the sight of God?
Yeah, this issue was raised in my mind. It was several years ago. It was a couple of former NFL players on Twitter going back and forth about this issue, one a believer, one not. And look, I think there are really important apologetics implications here, right? If I tell somebody, so I'm engaged in a conversation, that the Christian view of morality is that there really is no difference between murdering somebody and lying to them, or stealing a pack of gum and being a racist, then I think I'm undermining the credibility of the faith, because regardless of your view of human nature, I think even those who aren't believers, just given the image of God, are able to make some judgments like that, right? These kind of moral judgments, and so we undermine their credibility. I mean, we can still, and we still should, I think, emphasize that all sins do separate us from God, so what we think of as the smallest still places us in need of God's grace in Christ. But we want to emphasize that without making the false claim that all sins are the same in God's sight.
Well, that's really good food for thought, Mike. Thanks for helping us unpack one of these cliches. You just kind of hear them out there. And sometimes as Christians, we don't really seriously consider the implications of what that really means or how it's even perceived, like you said, on a social media platform when people are debating if this is true or not. So finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Mike. Mike, what do you like on your pizza?
Pepperoni, sausage, peppers, mushrooms, olives, onions, like the supreme, so a bunch of stuff.
So basically, you like it loaded with everything on
it. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So what was your first job?
My first job was, it was refereeing youth soccer games, like when I was in high school, I think.
And you live in Kentucky, so what's your favorite thing about living in Kentucky?
Oh, the Well, it's I guess a couple things. One is the being able to see the thoroughbreds. We can go see them in Lexington, different places for free. And just the natural beauty. I didn't realize how much natural beauty there was here with the mountains and some of the bluegrass is beautiful.
Well, it's April 2017, so what's the most exciting thing that happened to you in the last month?
In the last month, this says something else about me. I got hired as a high school soccer coach for the girls team at a school here in town. And my daughter will be a senior, so it's her last year, and she's given me permission to coach, so I'm looking forward to that.
So your first job is the same as your current job.
Yeah,
on
that's
the
right.
Side. Okay, thanks, Mike, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you.
Michael W. Austin has written a viewpoint article for the 2017 Volume 40, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal called All Sins Are Not the Same. To read his article, subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. Or if you would just like to receive a single issue and read Mike's article in the 40, Number 2 issue, it's also available for your donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute in the month of April 2017. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI Christian Research Journal and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org, where you can download our free smartphone app on which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.